Let's go.
Welcome to Around the Cooler, the fantasy football podcast with your hosts, Brady Connors, Frankie Morales, and Daniel Acosta.
Welcome back to Around the Cooler, the fantasy football podcast. I'm your boy, D. I'm here with Frank and Brady. What up,
yo,
guys?
Yo.
Brady, you look shot, dude.
I have slept like shit the last week, dude. I'm exhausted. I'm not going to lie.
What's on your mind? You want to talk about it?
Nah.
Sick.
There's nothing on my mind, bro. I just slept like shit. Kel's in like the sleep regression stage right now. So, I mean, yeah. That's obviously playing into it, too. And the fact that I think you're kind of like me, bro. Like, once I'm up, I'm usually up for a while, dude.
Oh, yeah, dude.
Yeah.
It really screws me at the wineries when I have to get up in the middle of the night because I just can't go back to sleep.
Yeah, fucks me hard, dude. But other than that.
The wineries in the middle of the night?
God,
I'm good, man. Happy to be here. I legit forgot while listening to the intro that we've had that girl. I was like, oh, yeah, I forgot about her.
So you forgot. And in my head, I'm like, she sounds better every episode.
That's hilarious.
Nobody does it better.
Nobody.
What's good with you, Frank?
Nothing, dude. Just chilling. Fucking Wednesday, you know? Another week, another
just
day.
A classic Wednesday, a little bit closer to draft day, baby.
Just
one more
bit.
Week and a half.
I know. I work the day of the first round. But let's go to the bar or something like on Saturday.
I'm down. Sounds like a good time.
Yeah.
What are you feeling?
I don't know. We could do it here. We could go to the bar next door.
Nah, you don't want to go to the bar
next
door.
We could go to Bob's.
Not for something like that. I was going to say, Uncle Bob's pretty tight, dude.
Okay.
For the draft.
It's a cool, you never been there, right?
No.
Yeah. It's like a traditional sports bar, bro.
Yeah.
It's pretty cool.
Uncle Bob's, hit the hookah lounge.
Yeah.
End up at Killarney's.
Did you ever go to that hookah lounge?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, dude. Fuzzy Navel all day, baby.
Oh, my God. Our boy Slim took me there
yes.
One too many times, dude.
Bro, we would all go together.
Yeah. Do we? I don't remember going back in the day like that with all of us.
You remember the hookah that was always at my parents' house, dude? The gold one?
Yes.
That everyone wanted to light up, but I'm like, yo, no. It's a decoration. It's a decoration. Every party we threw at the house, everyone's like, yo, does that thing work? I'm like, nah,
does that thing fucking
it's decoration.
Work?
They still got that vodka bottle?
I think they finally discovered it. Dude, you were there.
Oh, yeah, that's
yeah,
right.
Remember?
Yeah,
remember? Yeah, we were just getting hammered with our parents.
Yep, great times.
Anyways, let's talk a little NFL. Pretty quiet on the news front, but we had a little bit of news drop later today.
Yeah, this was breaking news almost, per se, right? It just happened like a couple hours ago. Yeah.
My darling boy, J.K. Dobbins, is signing a one-year deal with the Los Angeles Chargers.
What's the contract details on that?
We don't know
to
yet.
To be seen.
I was going to say, it's not bad if it's,
I imagine it's going to be a vet minimum deal laden with incentives.
I was going to say, it's probably very incentive laden.
Probably can get up to 4 or 5 mil.
But he won't. Because he'll be hurt. Quickly.
Very likely.
Thought it was a shit signing.
I don't mind it, dude. I mean, from a fantasy standpoint, like, you're not gonna touch him. Don't touch him in redraft. If he's
whoa,
on
whoa,
your
whoa.
If he's
can
on
you
your,
say that again a little louder for people.
Oh gosh.
Did you just say not to touch JK?
I
Dobbins?
Am telling you not to
I'm gonna
touch
tell J- everybody to draft Michael Thomas again this year.
I'm gonna tell everybody
hell yeah, dude.
That I've had my heart broken one too many times. And I don't know what this guy's still doing on my dynasty team. What are we, 4 seasons in now? And he's still on my goddamn team.
Yep.
I respect the commitment,
and
man.
He's given me all maybe 20 points total. Fuck.
But that's brutal.
From an NFL standpoint, I mean, give me another running back on that team that's not named Gus Edwards.
Hey, man, to be fair to him, he flashed in all one of his games last year, dude.
All one.
Bro, that first half was dynamic.
Yeah, okay? It was. I remember you texted us
he had
about
a touchdown,
it.
Dude. He had a touchdown, and he hit 11 points in one quarter. And I'm like, J.K. Dobbins season, baby.
He's
gone.
Back crack.
And
oh,
I'm
never
like,
mind.
And I'm like, where is he? Where is he?
He's dead, dude.
Where is he? It's like the Padme meme, dude. Where is he? And then sure enough, ticker, torn Achilles. I was like, son of a bitch. So that's the thing. He is coming off a torn Achilles. Rarely do you see a running back come back and remain productive. I mean, I guess we're seeing it a little bit more often, but very similar to an ACL. Typically takes a year, maybe 2 years. He is only 24 years old.
What running back tore their Achilles that came back to be successful? I don't
think. Dante Foreman. Not like he was never a star.
Yeah.
Cam Akers flashed.
He tore his Achilles. That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's more. But yes, like those are the two like prominent ones.
I personally think that's a terrible signing. I don't really get it. I mean, you pulled over Gus Edwards. I get that. But they just brought him over because he was their guy that they drafted, I think. I think it was a shit move. Especially with the NFL draft coming up, like we could have fucking just drafted a running back to replace that.
I think we still will.
I still probably will. Yeah. But
to me, I see this as a depth signing.
Yeah. There better be like.
A depth signing? For what? The IR dude?
That's what I'm saying. Exactly. Like, we know what's going to happen with this guy. I think it was a bad signing, but fucking cares.
I mean, I think the people in the building now, which is basically just Baltimore, like pretty much all of Baltimore staff, just knows what they have. They know what they have. So it says something to me that they're still willing to sign this guy.
Yeah,
because when he's been on the field, like for those 20, 30 plays, like you said, Brady, he's flashed. He's got 200 plus carries over his career. So he still has a ton of tread left on the tires. Average 5.8 a clip, which is still some of the highest marks for a minimum of 200 carries in the league. I mean, we'll see what he does, dude. Like I said, fantasy wise, I'm staying away, but I don't know. I mean, fourth, fifth round pick dynasty? If you're looking to move the needle?
No. No.
Well, you just hold. Now's the time to sell. Dude. If you got him, now's the time to sell. You guys want him?
Nobody fucking wants J.K. Dobbins, dude.
Someone's going to bite, dude.
No, dude.
Jay, I know you're listening. I know you're listening. God.
That's too funny.
Other than that, let's just get to crack 'em. What do we got tonight, Frank?
So, I found this story pretty interesting, dude. The NBA... just banned Jonte Porter from the NBA. There's not like a set amount, but it sounds like it's a...
I heard it's permanently.
I think it's a permanent ban.
It's permanent.
He's done.
He's gone. So apparently an investigation got launched at the end of March that he had been kind of gambling. Oh, shit.
Oh, my God. Man.
Oh,
my
whoa.
Mic just fell off.
Nice. So he's been gambling. He's been betting on himself, right?
Yeah, he's betting on himself. I think he also bet on some games straight up, too. But I was reading, I guess he only totaled, and I say only because it's way more than we'll ever make, but for like professional NBA player, I think he totaled like $70,000 in net winnings. Compare that to banning permanently.
Compare that
to a vet minimum.
To his
that's
salary?
Like $500,000 every year.
What an dude. Idiot, dude.
Yeah, bro. So... yeah, he's banned permanently, and good on the NBA for doing that, dude. You know, they don't fuck around. And to, I think, a wider
unlike
problem.
Baseball.
Yeah, I think to a wider problem at large, that's a little more concerning, especially for sports fans, is how, like, widely popular sports betting has become to where it has infiltrated these players
Everyone's
in these
doing
leagues,
it.
Dude. So, you know it's happening across all leagues, dude.
It's all about not
it's
getting
just
caught.
Exactly, dude. So, that's a little alarming from a fanhood standpoint. But
so we're gonna crack it to what was he the Raptors?
He was a
Raptors.
Raptor.
He was a Raptor. Yeah.
Yeah. I think that, and to echo your point, Brady, what flagged him is the fact that like nobody fucking gambles on this guy ever, and yeah. Then like there was like
one
dude.
We have
there was
same?
Like three games when all of a sudden, and it was player based, so it was or statistic based, so it was like over unders on his.
So
free
he's
throws.
An underdog.
Yeah. So fucking
or sleeper.
I guess like three
Sponsor
games
us.
There was like a bunch of bets and for a lot of money.
Yeah. So this is back-to-back crack-ems for gambling scandals.
Nice.
Oh,
dude.
Yeah, baby.
And let's crack them to us for striking out again, dude.
Yeah.
What did we bet
we
on?
We blow, dude.
Oh, freaking that golfer, dude. What was his name? Colin?
Oh, Morikawa.
I think Brady was drinking. And
I had
like,
a couple
I'm
beers.
Him.
I had a couple beers at Pechanga and was feeling good, dude.
You were at Pechanga?
Yeah. I just went over there for a couple beers.
I like that.
Try to play some blackjack. Lost. Ever since fucking Asian has been like, yo, you want to bet, dude? He's slowly turning me into a D-gen.
Dude, he hit a...
That's why our group chat's called the Temecula D-gens.
He hit a single game or a single game Ooh, bet
this
today.
This is good, D.
This is really good.
Yeah.
$20 to get paid 140 out. That's pretty big.
That's solid.
That's solid.
Yeah, it was one of the players first basket scorer. Like, just that bet alone.
Such a crap shoot. It takes is one, bro.
No, but that bet alone is just so fucking degenerate.
Let's see your red slips, Asian.
I hit a five player parlay, like my first week playing underdog, dude. I made $500 and it's gone.
Yeah, I was going to say, you know who's fucked the worst are the people that have never sports gambled before and then just randomly go, I'm going to throw like a five-leg parlay in.
Oh, yeah.
And hit their very first bet. Mm-hmm. They're fucked the rest of their life.
Oh, because then they think they can do that again.
There's a guy at the winery. Listen to this. Hit a 12 team parlay. Swore he's never really sports gambled. Just totally just dart throws. Hit it. Made like $20K. Use that for like his wedding, his like proposal, smart all guy. That stuff. And now he's a degen, dude.
Now he's addicted.
Oh, yeah.
Of course he is, dude.
Dude, this beer's freaking good.
It's really good.
So shout out to Lost Abbey. Looking for sponsors here. Moral Codes, West Coast Double IPA, 8.5.
We need to start following these beer companies on Instagram.
Agreed.
And being like, hey.
Tagging their shouts.
Yeah, yeah.
We should do that once we start making like TikToks and like YouTube shorts and shit.
Yeah.
All right. Let me take one more sip and let's get into this.
Let's do it.
Okay. So what are we breaking down today? We are finishing up the wide receivers and then we're going to dive into
the one tight end.
The one tight end and a couple of his friends. So real quick, we touched on 10 wide receivers last week. We're going to do 5 more. There's really no order to this. We kind of scattered the prospects around. So does it mean we thought the best 10 was on the last episode and these last 5 are the worst? Like, no, there's still some really talented players that we're going to talk about. And we're going to try and talk about it from a fantasy and dynasty standpoint. And just remember, these guys aren't on teams yet. So we're strictly just watching the tape, giving you what our opinions are on what we see and how we think they're going to pan out in the NFL. Ultimately, a lot of it comes down to their landing spot. But
as it typically does.
You guys ready?
Oh, yep. Yeah, dude.
All right. First guy, Rome Odunze, 6'3", 215 pounds, junior out of Washington. He is 21 years old. In 2023, 92 receptions, 1,640 yards, 13 touchdowns. He was the top target for Michael Penix and that Washington Huskies team. Boys, Rome Odunze, in my opinion, is an outstanding prospect, and I think he has all the makings of a wide receiver one in this league. He looked to me NFL ready last season just playing for the Huskies. There's a big three, right? And I feel like he's the most underrated of the bunch. He doesn't have the name value of Marvin Harrison, and he doesn't have the flash or the explosiveness of Neighbors. But in my eyes, the separation is just really slim. And Odunze's got elite ball skills, even for the NFL. Very wide catch radius. Excellent body control. He could definitely make those circus catches, can contort his body. And he could do everything you want your number one wide receiver to do. Sideline toe tap, got it. Double coverage, tight window, got it. He's got the hand straight to win and fight in traffic. If you throw it his way, he's coming down with the ball consistently. I think he feasts on contested catches. Pro Football Focus actually had him since 2014. Pro Football Focus had him statistically as the best contested catch player with a 75% contested catch rate. The second was actually Drake London at 66%. This kid's a jump ball specialist, elite at the catch point, knows how to use his body to box out defenders, consistently wins the ball, beautiful route runner. This is probably where I think he shines. It's his route running. I see all of the Keenan Allen comps when it comes to his route running, and he can line up all over the field. Now, he's not explosive. He's not very twitchy, but he's just very fluid. He just changes direction very easily. He's got the good hands, late hands, and I like that he knows how to create separation by using his body, by using his length, using the body control, and when you're watching him and you compare him to watching Neighbors, like, it doesn't look like he plays with a lot of juice. He just seems very calm and controlled on the field. But it doesn't mean he's slow. He's a former track star. He still ran a 4.41 at the combine. So he has the long speed. He just doesn't flash a ton of burst or explosiveness. And he doesn't have that second gear to me. So he's not really breaking away from defenders or taking the top off on a go route. Sometimes he can struggle against more physical DBs. There was just a little too often he was kind of taken out of a play against some tight press coverage, and that's something he's going to have to work through at the NFL to reach his potential. But overall, in my eyes, he's an elite prospect, and I actually have him number two behind Marvin Harrison Jr., so I actually have him ranked higher than Malik Nabers. Just so much of what he does already translates to the NFL, and I think he's got a top five fantasy ceiling for years to come. He's like a mix of Keenan Allen. Like if you take Keenan Allen's hands and route running and footwork and you combine that with Mike Williams' size and jump ball ability and contested catch like ability, he's like a combination of the two. And my comp for him is honestly Larry Fitzgerald.
That's an interesting comp. I like it.
That's a Hall of Fame comp, baby.
Oh, great point.
Larry was just kind of that guy, bro. Like he just a blue collar, came to work, put up the numbers, and that's it.
Yeah.
Like there wasn't a lot of flash. You didn't hear about him in the media. He wasn't overly explosive.
Yeah.
Kurt Warner just threw him the ball 10 times and he got 100 yards and a touchdown every game.
Yeah.
Like just got the job done.
How about shades of Devontae?
Devontae
Adams?
Yes. That's a more modern day comp.
That's a good one.
I saw that one too.
Yeah.
Yeah. Very similar, dude. Route work, you know, footwork technician.
Obviously, he's bigger than Devontae.
Great route runner. Great hands. Can make every throw. Like, this dude's a quiet alpha.
Right.
Yeah. Rome, from all the receivers I watched, maybe even including Marvin, seemed like he was the most polished wideout at this stage of his career.
NFL ready.
Yes. Most NFL ready, I think, prospect right now. Which obviously translates for him to be a day one starter right out the gate. I don't see like elite alpha type wide receiver. I see very good receiver, but that's just me personally, you know. I think you mentioned it with the his contested catch rate, 75% or whatever. I think he settles for contested catches too much when he could probably use his speed more.
Yeah.
But other than that, like I said, I think he's extremely well polished. He's a very good receiver. He's NFL ready day one. But I am going to temper my expectations from being a solid, great receiver. Just me personally. I could see for fantasy purposes a very solid wide receiver two with low wide receiver one.
Really?
Potential. Wow. Yeah. But I think just to circle back, and we say it all the time, I really think it depends on landing spot, depends on your QB. Like, those are going to be huge factors. Depends on the scheme that you're in. We got to find out where he goes.
What's crazy is this guy is probably the most NFL ready, like you guys are saying, and he's rated as the third best receiver, arguably, like, if you aggregate, it looks like he's probably three behind.
Because his potential stats.
And that's how good this class is.
Well, yeah, but like that means he's going to get drafted later. He's not going to get overdrafted to a high-end team that has a bunch of fucking problems at the top of the draft.
He's going to the top 10.
Right, but I'm saying in comparison to the top three teams that are looking at, you know, like those teams at the top have problems.
Right.
They don't, and they need quarterbacks, and they have all this shit
wrong.
Yeah,
they all start with a Q.
So you go further down the draft, and the teams just get statistically better. The situation is better, so he's going to end up in a better landing spot than the rest, which makes
hopefully, dude. Good stuff. I mean, I think once you get past the Chargers, like 6 through 10,
where's he projected to go?
Shit,
right now?
Man, if he goes to the Giants, goodbye.
Well, that's the problem.
Giants, so, you're
Giants,
right. Giants,
fuck.
Titans, Tennessee,
fuck.
Maybe the Jets.
The Jets, fuck. We can't draft a Jet. Yeah, we talked
right.
about this.
You're right. Just trying to imagine situations that would work out.
But you give Aaron Rodgers two more years, dude. A healthy Aaron Rodgers for two more years and have him be the running mate alongside Garrett Wilson. Like, that could be dangerous. For him or Malik Nabers. To me, they're interchangeable at this point.
Malik Nabers or him?
Yeah. So, a popular one is him getting mocked to the Bears.
The Bears, see now.
That
dude.
Would...
See...
Because the Bears do have a second pick, right? In... Or would they have to trade back up?
No. So the Bears still have their pick. They have their pick at 9.
Yeah, that's the one.
Yes.
Okay,
yes.
So yeah, that's a feasible landing spot.
Yeah, so that's a feasible landing spot. I mean, personally, like, that just seems like a very Bears move. Like, all right, you just got the quarterback, you got all the weapons on the offense, let's add another weapon.
Let's
yeah.
do it,
like,
baby.
Let's not build the defense for our defensive head coach. Just add another receiver.
Fuck.
You know, but from a dynasty standpoint, that doesn't scare me as much.
Right.
Because Keenan, we don't know how long Keenan has. So maybe he not sits behind. But
I'm
like,
calling it right now. Keenan Allen does not replicate the success he had last season.
Agreed.
If anything, we're going to see a drop off.
Agreed. But there's a lot of mouths to feed if he ends up there. So temper your expectations. But from a talent standpoint, which is what we're talking about, right. Like from a talent standpoint, he could be a wide receiver one. And when we say a wide receiver one, that means he's a top 12 receiver.
Right.
If we say, yeah, football. If I say he's the number one, that means he's the Justin Jefferson.
If fucking DJ Moore can do it, it can't be that hard, dude.
Exactly.
Well, DJ Moore's points came off of two games, dude.
Yeah.
So
two games, three plays.
Yeah.
I mean, like, I don't want to go down a Bears tangent here, but like, imagine if that team had an average quarterback, dude. Like, Caleb could be average.
Yeah.
Like, that's it. Like, just throw better than Justin Fields, Caleb. We're not asking for much. But sounds like Brady's a little down on Roma Dunze. I'm high on Roma Dunze.
I told you guys last episode, I'm not as high on this class as most people are. So I'm not saying Rome won't be a good wide out, because I think he is going to be. I just don't see wide receiver one. That's all.
Okay.
It's just interesting, you know, because...
Not right away, but I think in a couple years, for
Malik
sure.
Nabers, kind of the counterpart. Obviously, Marvin Harrison's the jewel of the class, but Malik Nabers, the counterpart, is the guy that isn't as polished from a route tree perspective, but has the explosiveness, right?
What I liked about Rome, though, because Penix, he did sling it all over the field, but he leaned on Rome.
Right.
Like, when they needed to get shit done.
Safety valve, bro.
He went to Rome. And even though they lost that game against Michigan in the title game, Rome was there, dude, making every big play, every big catch. And he's not coming with the off-the-field like baggage that Nabers has.
Sure.
And that's a little concerning to me. You know, I just want my wide receiver to be more low-key, kind of like Justin Herbert, just not make any drama. But
Lonzo Ball-esque, dude.
Lonzo Ball-esque. Is that guy still in the league?
He also doesn't fucking play.
Actually, yes, he is.
So I don't.
He's just collecting checks, baby.
Yep.
Yeah. So from a dynasty standpoint, super flex, Romo Dunze is very likely going in the top six, in my opinion.
I can see that.
Probably behind Marvin, and then it just comes down to landing spot and if you like Nabers or Romo Dunze.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree with that.
Cool.
Damn, I could also see him just completely vanishing with all of that Jets offense, dude. Or the Jets, the Giants. If he gets drafted by the Giants or Tennessee, we're never going to hear this guy's
name
ever
again.
Did
you see all the footage? So did you see like all that footage coming out of like Daniel Jones like sitting in on the meetings and shit? So here's Brian Daboll like giving his speech. Like, I'm so fucking excited to be back. And fucking Daniel Jones is sitting in the front row looking hungover as shit. Just like with this get me the fuck out of here look on his face.
Good for him.
Poor Davey, dude. And poor me. I wasted my fucking pick on him.
Daniel Jones?
Yeah.
He looked good for a year.
Well, remember, we did that startup, so I took him as my QB2.
Oh,
like
shit,
in
that's
the eighth,
right.
In, like, late, like, eighth round or whatever,
yeah,
but still.
Fine. Whatever. I mean, he's going to play this year.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Unless, yeah. All right. Anyways, Keon Coleman. What do you think, Frank?
6'4", 215, junior out of Florida State.
That's a big boy.
50 catches, 658 yards. Wish I could have seen a little more there. 11 touchdowns. Now, Keon Coleman kind of profiles as that throwback X receiver. He's all about physicality and ball skills. 6'4", 215. Bullying cornerbacks most of the time at his position. He
Basketball.
Excels at fighting through press coverage at the line of scrimmage. He uses his length to buy him space at the top of his routes. And on top of all of that, he's a willing blocker. That type of shit at the NFL always translates well. Coleman leverages that his strength when it comes to, you know, playing with the ball in the air. His ball skills are special. So all of that we're talking about, the biggest problem with this is the fact that he's not a polished route runner and that he doesn't have that explosive speed that you would like to see from a receiver this type of size. or comparably across his class.
He whiffed at the combine.
And he whiffed at the combine.
Oh, yeah.
So
in the 40.
Bad.
Bad.
What was it, like 4.5 something?
Nine? Worse, 4.6.
Oh, Jesus.
You'd love to see it, dude.
But like, to me, that doesn't translate on tape.
Yeah.
He looks faster on tape.
That's what I'm saying. I try not to pay attention to that 40
before.
You know?
Yeah.
I kind of profile this guy like a Allen Robinson.
Yeah, I could see that. Best case scenario.
Best case scenario, right.
Yeah.
If I'm like imagining if he could hit the top of his game, Allen Robinson.
Keon Coleman, I feel like he's going to get drafted higher than he should. Like from an NFL standpoint.
How though? Because if this class is so loaded.
Because he's
probably. Because he got the size?
Because he's going at the end of the first. He's projected to go end of the first, early second.
So you're taking this guy or Ladd?
I'm taking Ladd.
Yeah?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
I'm taking Ladd.
Brady?
I'm also taking Ladd.
You guys are fucking racist because it's white.
Yeah. Of course. Look at me.
Come on, bro. Ladd's a gym rat. What do you expect?
You're right.
So I love the ball skills, and he's got good size, and I love the pop. To me, he just seems like a nice car that's got something wrong with it, dude. You know, there's a lot of flash to his game. Like, if you watch the highlights, you're going to fall in love with Keon Coleman. Like, the first thing that's going to pop up is that LSU game where he just tore up LSU week one of the college season, 3 touchdowns, monster game. Like, yo, who the fuck is Keon Coleman? Marvin Harrison, Keon Coleman versus everybody else. And then, like, but you got to watch the tape, dude.
Yeah.
Like, his route running, his speed, like he just to me, he seems very raw. And going to the right team and getting the right coaching staff to coach him up, like this kid has a ceiling.
Right.
But, you know, there's just still more work to be done for him, for me to like waste a first round pick. Like if I'm an NFL team, like I'm not going to spend a first round pick on a guy that just is that raw.
Yeah.
Right. Or a second round pick for in that opinion. You know, I'd rather spend my second round pick on somebody that I think is more ready, like a Trey Benson.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a lot to like about him. Solid yak guy, blend of size, physicality, explosiveness. He's a load to take down, highlight reel play after highlight reel play, jump ball specialist. I do think even though he's really good at the jump ball, he needs to be more consistent making the tough contested catches. And, like, in a way, he's just more of a jump ball guy to me than a contested catch guy. Like, for his size, he will let DBs get up in him. Like, I wish he would play a little bit more physical. I wish he would be a little better catching in traffic. A little stiff. He's a very straight line guy. And there's a lot of these guys in this draft class. There's probably 5 of them.
Right.
Mm-hmm. That are all straight line over the top. They're
Gabe
big.
Davis guys.
Yes, they're all, there's a shit ton of Gabe Davises. They're all big and fucking fast.
Yep.
And they're going to have like explosive games every now and then. Little too many wasted steps. I think he could break off his routes a little better. And then the 4.6 and the 40. You know, so.
Maybe that was planned, bro.
I don't know. I mean, his speed to me, it just won't scare anyone at the next level. Like I said, he feels like a guy that looks like a better prospect than he is. His tape is littered with wide open touchdowns and some circus catches. I genuinely worry about his ability to separate at the next level, but he's raw. He's super raw. I do think there's more to be unlocked. He just feels more like a solid wide receiver 2 to me. And my comp is Cortland Sutton.
Oh, that's a good one too.
Just a deep ball guy, dude.
Yeah.
Deep ball guy will flash every now and then. Some low-end wide receiver 1 upside if he just gets heavily targeted. But
right. So I'm looking at the end of the first round. I'm trying to imagine which of these situations would be good for him. Packers, Bucks, Cardinals, Bills, Lions, Ravens, Niners, Chiefs.
So Packers, no. Bucks, no. Cardinals,
maybe.
It depends what they do.
If they trade out.
Yep.
You know?
Bills. So the Bills are the first team I think we'll consider taking. The Bills are probably going to draft a receiver.
That's a good landing spot.
Yes, I would be shocked if the Bills didn't draft a receiver, and I would be more shocked if this was the guy. I'd be shocked.
I'm just saying, where do we see this guy to have fantasy relevance at a landing spot? I guess
or
not as nowhere.
A, Or so he's end of the first or early second.
Early second. Then it's so Panthers, if the
Chargers,
Patriots.
If God damn it, if the Chargers do not take a wide receiver in the first round, like all of these guys, the Ladd McConkeys, the Keon Colemans, a few of these guys that we're going to talk about, are all going to be lined up for them to take in the second round if they want to go that route.
I can't wait till we fuck up another receiver.
I know. If we take somebody that we're going to talk about a little later, I'm going to smash this beer over my head, dude.
Hell yeah, dude. That's what I came here for.
What do you think, Brady?
I think some poor team's going to get suckered into this guy's prototypical.
That's what I'm saying,
size.
Dude. That's what I'm fucking saying.
And they're going to be like, we can make something out of this kid. And sorry to spoil your party. No, you can't, dude. This kid is what he is to me at this point. Like you said, D, he's a D-ball specialist. We've touched on it already. We have throughout the last episode. There's what seems like 1,000 of those guys in this draft. This guy, I think, to me, is probably the least talented one out of them. So I don't really see much relevance for this guy at the next level. I think the Courtland Sutton comp, D, is a great comp, to be honest with you. Sutton, I think, has more talent for sure, but still definitely a great comp nonetheless. Again, I don't see anything more than wide receiver 3, high end, maybe.
I see that 100%. I'm just like trying to imagine in what situation is he better than that? Like, do the Bills mean if he landed with the Bills, do you think they could maximize his potential?
Potentially, because we all know Joshy Boy likes to throw the ball deep downfield.
No, because they couldn't with Gabe Davis.
That's a good point. And I think the shit
but
that
also,
is important
but,
to know.
But to counter that argument, they also had Stephon Diggs there, who they force fed the ball 100 times.
Right.
I think if you put someone like Keon Coleman in a more traditional offense where they spread the ball around a lot more, maybe. But I also agree with you at the end of the day.
Like
no.
The Chargers, we're not known for raising receivers, as you can tell.
Yeah.
Quentin Johnston needed a lot of work.
Right.
And he looked like absolute dick.
Yeah.
So I would be terrified if the Chargers drafted another guy that needed a lot of work because he's not going to.
So just take fucking Malik Nabers or Roma Dunze, please.
Yeah, that's what we needed. The Cardinals need to trade out and we need to land Marvin Harrison.
I think we potentially identified it with it maybe being the Cardinals. I can maybe see some relevance with him being on the Cardinals. But if we're talking purely fantasy.
Yeah.
I don't really see much from this kid at all.
I think he'd be a good best ball guy. Like, every now and then, he's going to have, like, one of those games, dude.
Yeah.
Fucking 2 deep balls, 150 yards, 3 catches, 2 touchdowns.
Mm-hmm.
Best ball specialist. All right, moving on to the next guy, Brady.
On to the next.
Troy Franklin.
Mr. Troy. What did I like about Mr. Troy? Well, he has elite speed, for one. Let's be honest, what Oregon guy doesn't have elite speed? Like another wide receiver who we talked about in an earlier episode, Brian Thomas, I think him and Troy get off the line the best I've seen out of all these kids, which is always promising. He's good after the catch. He can make guys miss, once he obtains the ball, can really make some damage in the open field. He does have some good body control as well. I've noticed a lot of adjustments made in the air on a lot of Nick's underthrown passes. But unfortunately for this guy, his weaknesses. He's an Oregon receiver. I was going to get to that last, but thank you, D. I saw a lot more red flags than I saw strengths. So, for one, he's thin. He's a smaller guy. I didn't even say his measurables. D, can you get that for me real fast?
Yeah, 6'3", 187.
Thank you. 6'3", 187. So he's on the smaller side of things. He has inconsistencies in his ball tracking. He body catches way too much, especially on the intermediate routes. The biggest red flag I saw, and I had to double check this by watching multiple highlights of this guy, but a lot of drops.
Highlights
or lots and lots of
low
drops.
Heights.
Low heights.
Just tape. All 22.
Lots and lots of drops.
Low lights.
I think he had 9 or 10 drops last year. That's not going to get you playing time at the next level. And then also, he just seemed kind of lackadaisical to me. Like he didn't have, he wasn't 100% at all times. It's hard to find a receiver
that
really is.
There's a lot of that in this class. I almost think it's a generational thing.
Yeah.
It's like a business decision.
Probably.
Ball's
yeah.
not coming my way. Got to save this play for the next play, baby.
Yeah. I mean, I saw that a lot with him. And then, lastly, to be fair to D, he's an Oregon Duck, dude. Let's not forget, dude. He's an Oregon Duck.
It's a gimmicky college offense, dude.
You got to be hesitant about, players from that school, especially as it relates to the skill positions. Overall,
yeah, I was going to ask you guys, receiver specific, when's the last time a good Oregon receiver has come out?
Michael Huff.
What?
Special teamer.
Wow, let's go.
Yeah. I think he's still in the league, floating around somewhere. Oh, man.
Conversation over.
Yeah. Yeah, overall, to me, though, guys, I think he'll be a decent receiver, but the drops, like I said, are the biggest concern in my eyes. He's not going to get a lot of playing time at the next level if that continues. I don't see anything better than a flex play at best for fantasy relevance.
Yeah, so he's an interesting player to me. I really liked him during the season because I was watching a lot of Oregon. You know, I'm a low-key Oregon fan. Shout out to Talmadge Jackson. His numbers look great, dude. 81 receptions, 1,380 yards, 14 touchdowns. And he looked like the dude out there. Like, he was Bo Nix's go-to guy. And he had a lot of big games. And then once I kind of dug deeper, I'm like, damn it, dude. He's just another Oregon Duck, you know, in this gimmicky offense. Tall, slender. He's a glider. Great acceleration. Very elusive. And he uses that to beat the press. He knows how to stack his speed. He knows how to separate over the top. Another deep ball guy. Only difference is this one's skinny.
Yep.
Right? Not very physical at all. You know, he could be bullied. He could struggle with his contested catches. Hands, questionable. Focus drops, like red flag, red flag, red flag. Yes, he's very explosive. Explosive jump ball, circus catchability. But his route tree, good, not great. The shorter and underneath routes need some more work. Runs a little too upright for me. Hips need to be smoother. And honestly, like, him running a 4.41 was a disappointment.
Yeah. He has way better speed than 4.41.
Like, the whole
tape shows that.
Like, all the Oregon coaches should be disappointed because all the Oregon boys, aside from their linemen, had a poor showing at the combine.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this guy was projected top five receiver.
Really?
Bucky Irving was projected to be a really good running back, and they all just kind of shit the bed at the combine.
Respect, dude. Love to hear that. I'm not going to lie to you. When you guys said Oregon, I stopped listening.
Yeah.
Nice, bro.
I respect, dude.
So,
yeah, overall, though, I really feel like Franklin plays to his size. Not a lot of strength, not a lot of physicality. It doesn't mean there's not a place for him in this league. He does have very good speed. Like, 4.4, and that's a disappointment. 4.4 is still fucking fast.
That's fast as fuck.
Right, dude. And he's got great acceleration. And he has some game-changing ability to me. Like, he's so smooth on the field. He really glides. And I feel like he could be very dangerous with the ball in his hands. He just needs more polish, you know, in his route running, in his contested catch ability. I feel like his floor is DJ Chark.
That's not a bad floor.
That's not a bad floor. Just kind of a deep ball guy, right? Yeah. A skinny deep ball guy. And I feel like if he lands in the right system and becomes the guy, he's like a Olave light.
Wow.
To me. Because he does a lot of his work in the intermediate to deep side of the field, similar to Chris Olave. And they're both kind of undersized, slender. I think Franklin's a little taller.
Yeah, 6'3".
Yeah. Just a pennies man, Chris Olave.
So the one thing I got written down here is it, like, it takes him a little bit to get to that 4.4 speed. Does that make sense? Like, his acceleration
okay. In
those first 15 yards seem slower than they should be, but then once he gets going, he's, like, taking the top off of his route.
Yep.
So maybe there's an opportunity for him at the NFL level to get that corrected, to figure out how to do that, right? Because I think that's something that could be worked on.
He seems like a guy to me that will take a couple years.
Yeah.
Because Oregon does a really good job of just scheming these players open.
Sure.
So, like, when he played up against a physical DB or had to make a catch in traffic, like, he struggled with it.
Yeah. And there was also that little, you know, bit that we talked about with Bo Nix, the fact that he could have been a lot better had it not been for his receivers being in the wrong place, dropping passes,
right,
being not being ready for the ball, shit like that.
Right.
So, and here we have basically the first option who is probably guilty of all of those things. So, again, something to be noted for.
He just gets lumped into that category of just another big jump ball, deep ball specialist in this draft class.
Just like the next guy.
Just like the next guy. Who is Adonai Mitchell, 6'4", 196 pounds. He's a junior out of Texas. He's only 21 years old. Middling stats, 55 receptions last year, 845 yards, and 11 touchdowns. So, for me, Adonai Mitchell is arguably the biggest boom or bust prospect in this draft class.
Really?
Oh, yeah. On one hand, like, he's just oozing with potential. His athleticism is literally off the charts. He scored a nearly perfect score in the RAS score, which is the relative athletic score at the combine.
What is that?
So they basically take all of their combine scores and they convert it into like an overall athletic score.
Oh, okay. Like an average,
so
basically.
So a 10 is a perfect score. And he scored a 9.98, which is up there with like Calvin Johnson, like some of those guys.
Wow.
Like, so elite, elite score. So when you break down that score a little bit more, it talks about like explosiveness. It talks about speed and like size and stuff like that. He graded out to be elite in explosiveness. He graded out to be elite in his speed. Adonai, his long strides literally makes it look like he flies all over the field with ease. He's very good at throttling up, very good at throttling down, mid route, great explosion after the catch. He plays with a ton of juice. He can definitely be a yak guy in the NFL because he's got that game-breaking speed, that game-breaking juice. He's got really good hands, even for a body catcher. And he's got some nasty fucking ball skills. This kid has a very wide catch radius.
Nasty, nasty.
Jump ball specialist with the ability to make the impossible catches look easy. And he had to do that a lot because Quinn Ewers is low-key trash, which I figured out watching all this tape from Xavier Worthy and Adonai Mitchell. That guy's not accurate. He could barely hit the fucking side of a barn. He's just lucky he had two NFL receivers,
yeah,
frankly, and an NFL tight end who we're going to talk about in a little bit. But excellent at tracking the ball downfield. He looked like a center fielder out there. And just with his athletic measurables and ball skills alone, like, he's almost in a class of his own. But frankly, that's half the story with this kid. His route running is a work in progress. He can get off the line. Like, that's not a problem for him. He has got the athleticism and the speed to get off the line. His size, good, not great, but he has the length. And like Ladd, he's also had minimum production in college. But there are a few games where he really shined, like the Bama game.
A lot of Ladd love this episode.
Oh, yeah, dude. We love Ladd.
We love Ladd.
He led the Big 12 in catches.
I love Ladd. But,
and this is where shit gets this is where shit gets a little gray, right? Because you got a guy with great hands, great athleticism, great explosiveness, which sounds like a receiver that I'm going to comp him to at the very end, that kind of flamed out. But all of his underlying metrics are very concerning. So he graded out below average to poor in almost every predictive analytical metric that has correlated and it's translatable to NFL success, right? So some of those metrics are yards per route run, yards per route run versus zone, touchdowns per route run, first downs per route run. He was low to poor in all of those things. And a lot of those guys that have compared, that have the same metrics as him, are like Jahan Dotson, like Justin Ross, you know, all these guys that have just
not
flamed
great
out.
Company.
No, exactly. Not great company, dude. And so you couple this with his obvious lack of effort on every play and questionable personality, dude. Like, it's a massive red flag. Like, I don't know if you saw this in the tape. That dude takes more fucking plays off than anyone I've ever seen. Like, anyone.
Business
and
decision,
there's literally times where I feel like he's running a route and he's not even expecting the ball to come his way. And he's like, oh, fuck. And then last second, like, puts his hands up real quick and like makes this like last second catch or some shit like that, dude. But like, and then there's this fucking weird ass quote at the combine where he's talking about giving efforts on routes. And this is a direct quote from him. I like to change my pace in routes. I never run my routes full speed. That's just a part of my game and it allows me to run routes for the whole drive. I mostly feel I'm in control when I'm running routes with people I'm going against.
Yeah, when I'm going against 18-year-old kids.
What the fuck does that mean, dude?
I guess that what he's trying to say is like he's trying to keep his opponents guessing by not by like not doing the same thing every single time.
It just but he looks like
it's a weird statement, but I also do see what he's trying to do or so what he right. says he's trying to do,
but
right?
Like, his tape is littered with him just fucking walking through
hey,
routes,
brother.
Dude.
Maybe that's his way of keeping people guessing.
And so some of the metrics, right? So
never
yards.
Let him know your next move, baby.
So,
yards bro, you per walk every route. I know.
Yards per route run, 1.68 yards per route run. That would be dead last in the NFL. Right? Yards per zone, 1.72. Also dead last. So on one side, you have a guy that scored almost to the Megatron athletic ability, and on all of his underlying metrics are saying he's a bust. Like, to me, and it's there because you watch the Bama tape where he literally just dominated Alabama, and then you watch, like, the rest of his games.
Those are ways just to understand how much effort he's giving on a per
yeah,
given play.
Yeah, and that's concerning
situation.
To me, dude.
Yeah.
Like, so, like, he's an ultimate swing for the fences guy. If he lands in the right system, this guy could become Josh Gordon.
Oh, fuck yeah. Let the hype begin, baby.
But, like, realistically, to me, he just feels like George Pickens.
There's only one Josh Gordon. So, George Pickens?
Which isn't bad. But that's George, dude. Like, great jump ball, contested catch guy. But this guy's more athletic than George Pickens.
I think George Pickens sucks, but that's just me.
I mean, well, there you go, bro. Like, yeah. That's the spectrum. Right? So
no, I like it. I like the
George flashes every now and then. Great jump ball contested catch guy, but Adonai is more athletic than George. But George has attitude issues. Sounds like Adonai
has attitude issues.
Has Adonai attitude issues. George
Or no, he's always in
George will take plays off and fight with his coaches. Adonai
just wants to keep the opponents guessing.
Just wants to keep the opponent guessing. Am I gonna run this route? Am I not gonna run this route?
Am I gonna
You never
stand
fucking
here?
Know. I don't know. Personally, like I see it, and if you just want to watch his highlights, you're going to fall in love with Adonai. But there's just too many red flags. He's off my board.
It's almost like he needs to go to a team that's constantly making him work and, like, feature the pass game.
He's going to Buffalo.
Like, to keep him active.
Yeah, I've seen a lot of
he's going to Buffalo, dude.
With that.
And the sky's the limit if they could get him right.
Make him the cog that turns that offense, man. The new Stephon Diggs, I mean – comes in.
Don't make it Dalton.
He's got all
you
the
see
what
that
problems.
Guy recently said, dude.
No,
make it Khalil Shakir.
So it's not even that bad, but I just found it's actually pretty funny, to be honest. So like, I guess he tweeted, he's all, "Hey, anyone got any good ideas for a cheat day, like food?" And some Buffalo fan said, "Buffalo wings, like chicken wings."
Fuck yeah!
And then he said, "With ranch." I don't know if you guys know this,
but you can't.
But it's a
wings.
Cardinal sin yeah. to eat ranch with your wings in Buffalo, dude. And I thought that was pretty funny, but
that
fuck
is
that
funny.
Guy.
Well, the guy was trolling him.
Yeah,
you know?
He was.
And then he trolled him
back yeah,
which is fucking hilarious.
Fair play. I just thought it was funny. Yeah, but if he lands in Buffalo, I mean, I don't see it being the worst thing. D, I kind of agree with you. I think this kid oozes potential. And he's going to need to fall to a team that gets him right. And it has to be, like, the team, dude. It can't be, like, a team where they maybe think they can get him right. The team that drafts him have to know, okay, we know, like, what his strengths are, what his weaknesses are. We know who he is as a person. We know his mom. We know his dad. We know what fucking his dog's name. Like, they have to know everything about this kid, dude. Do their homework on him. And then, if only then he's got a shot, dude. Other than that, I don't see much at the next level. I think the red flags, like you said, D, are outweigh the pros for me. So, yeah, we'll see what happens with him. But the potential is definitely intriguing.
You can't teach attitude or effort at the next level, man.
No,
you either have it or you fucking don't.
No, and you can't give a kid with a bad attitude millions of dollars.
No,
nope.
You can't. And I mentioned this, too. On the
Look at Ja Morant.
I don't remember what episode I mentioned it on, but I mentioned that story about Andre Drummond, where he's like, hey, man, I used to be like the guy. And then the coaches were like, yeah, but you're a shit teammate, dude. And you fucking, you know, treat this person like trash and blah, blah. At the pro level, dude, that matters a lot. It matters a fucking lot.
Adonai wasn't even the guy.
And if this kid doesn't have it, then he's done, dude.
If anything, I'd say Xavier Worthy was the guy. You mean his production wasn't there.
Javian Worthy.
But, like, he had those games. Like, dude, like the top.
But Adonai knows he could be the guy, dude.
Yes. Like, the game against
Washington.
His game against Washington, bro. Better than Xavier's floor.
Yes, dude. Like, the Washington game. Like, he was that guy that went fucking ham in the end and made that circus catch in the end zone when, like, Quinn Ewers was trying to throw the ball away.
Yeah.
And I was like, nah, bro, I got that. And they took the lead. I'm pretty sure they took the lead, and then Washington drove down the field.
Yeah.
But anyways, so boom or bust, dude. Big time. You got any thoughts on him, Frank? Or?
And on ATC, we're saying bust.
Yeah, dude. I just to echo those points I said earlier, man, I think one of the biggest things is when you're able to kind of accurately measure effort and, like, hustle kind of, and you're already grading pretty poorly there, like, the job's not getting easier at the next level, bro.
No.
So
more responsibilities.
Like, I want to know what your taking off is going to look like taking the playoff at the NFL level. You know? Like,
take it off, bro. Take a seat.
You know what's going to happen? Somebody's going to fucking lay you the fuck out, dude, because those are not fucking kids that you're playing against. Those are grown men that have been doing this for 9, 10+ years, you know? And it's – so, yeah, he's gonna fix that attitude real quick or flame out.
Preach, brother. All right, on to our last receiver.
Ricky Pearsall. 6'1", 190. Dude, all of the receivers today.
Good size.
Good size.
Whole class has good size, dude.
Yeah. Senior out of Florida, 23 years old. 65 catches for 965 yards and 4 touchdowns. Ricky's a white guy, you know? So
sign us up, dude.
Would you look at that?
Dean Brady already probably got him locked in.
I love Ricky Pearsall.
Well, but, you know, for being white, the guy's got great speed. When he gets going, he's like burning safeties through. He's got good length. It comes in handy when you're going to be fighting against those DBs. Great ball skills. Pretty damn detailed route runner, particularly deep ball routes. Negatives, he doesn't have that much burst, like, right off the line. So he really needs to kind of get going to get to that top end speed. And he doesn't have great ability to, like, throttle down and throttle back up. Like, he lacks explosiveness there. So, kind of clunky in and out of his breaks, kind of strange footwork for being a good route runner. A lot of wasted steps I see in his play.
I like this footwork, dude.
Do you? I think it's a little wasted.
Okay.
And he's just kind of, he's on the smaller side for how big he is. So that's going to cause problems at that next level. Kind of profiling slot receiver because he has the ball skills to do it as an inside receiver. But yeah. It's just going to be interesting to see where this guy lands.
I don't think it matters where he lands, dude.
Kenny Stills?
I don't.
No.
Now better?
I think he's better than that.
Better than Kenny Stills?
Kenny Stills to me was just a deep ball guy.
That's kind of what this guy reminds me of, though.
He's like a slot player, dude. Yeah. Like,
and I don't think it matters where he lands because the one thing that I saw about this kid that stood off the page more than anything, he's always open. Always, dude. Yes. Every route he runs, he somehow finds a way to get open.
It's because they don't cover white guys in college.
Maybe.
Especially Florida white guys.
Yeah, maybe. Fair point. But yeah, dude, just that fact alone. I mean, like I said, it doesn't matter where he's landed. Coaches are going to find a way to utilize him but to his skill set. So I can see success at the next level no matter what. As far as what that translates for fantasy-wise, I don't know, man. That's a little more tricky to say because this guy definitely doesn't profile as, like, a wide receiver one, doesn't profile
definitely
as a wide receiver two. I mean, I like solid flex, maybe?
Bit gimmicky, maybe?
Maybe, a little bit, but...
I'm a little higher, I think, than on him than you guys.
Okay.
Like, do you know what his nickname is?
Sticky Hands?
Slick Rick, baby.
Slick Rick.
Sign me up already. You guys moving up my draft boards.
God, that's the slimiest nickname in the world. Like, if your name is Rick and you got called Slick Rick, you've probably done some real slimy shit in your life.
Well, like you said, dude, he's just seems like he's always open. I mean, I loved his route running, right? I think it was some of the best in the class. Quick feet, good body control, knew how to manipulate and fake out the DBs. Good hips, dude. I thought he had some sharp breaks. And I agree with you, Frank, not a ton of burst to his game. But I thought he maintained his speed throughout his routes. And he didn't really slow down when making his cuts.
Let me ask you a question. I'm sorry to interrupt you. But, like, as a dude that's expected to play the slot, you have to be quick in and out. You have to have the ability to throttle up and throttle down.
So no, I disagree because I feel like there's two kind of slots players. There's the small, undersized, quick guy.
I'm thinking Wes Welker.
Sometimes, okay, so I feel like Wes Welker and like the Julian Edelmans are the first ones to come to mind.
But he's white, so yes.
But the NFL is putting these big guys in the slot.
True.
And
that's
using
true.
Just like use your size and use your physicality.
Like Keenan Allen last season.
To bully this guy. Like to me, Keon Coleman would translate as a good big slot player. Like that's a red zone target.
I got you.
Right? So it just comes down to like coaching and like what the team wants.
Okay.
But yeah, he very much seems like your prototypical slot guy because he's white.
Yeah.
And he's and he's
that's,
fast.
That's the point I'm trying to make here.
Stereotypes are true, right. Even in the NFL.
And I felt like he had that.
He's a gym rat, baby.
He had that. Yes, he's a gym rat. I think he actually
but not
is
a class
gym rat,
act.
Dude.
No firecracker in his spot.
No. But, dude, I thought he did most of his damage running free, finding that soft spot in the zone. He can't really separate consistently. But overall, though, I feel like he could be a reliable receiver at the next level with some upside. I think if he lands in the right system, I feel like he could be a really big surprise in the class.
Fuck, man. If we should play a game where every time we say, if he's in the right system, we take a shot.
Dude.
Because obviously, like, we know that. Like, nobody knows for certain how these guys are going
to
pan out.
It's funny. Last episode, I think we said, if these guys go to the Rams.
I thought about that, too.
Speaking of the Rams, though, like, I mean, I think this kid.
If
could
this
be
guy
like,
goes to the Rams, fuck,
bro,
in the out. Right system.
So I feel like this guy doesn't carry the name value or the flash of some of these other guys, but I could see him being like this year's Puka Nacua.
Okay,
kind of coming out of nowhere and like putting up some shocking guys. I don't think he's going to be wide receiver 4 next year,
right?
But he could be that guy in camp, like. Yo, Ricky Pearsall's turning heads. Yo, Ricky Pearsall's a starter. Because there's a lot of similarities to them. Like good route runner.
Mm-hmm.
Can't separate that well. Like, Puka fucking, his measurables were fucking ass, dude.
Right.
The dude ran like a 4.7, like, couldn't separate, but just gets the job done. Finds a way to get opens, and I see a lot of that in Ricky Pearsall's game.
And I guess, like, in the season that we currently are, to our listeners, it's just like important to make note of these types of
remember
players.
The name.
Yeah, just fucking remember the name, because if they're in camp showing out, it's like, oh shit, here we go.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying.
Remember the name. Well, that. I mean, Brad, you got anything to add or?
No, man. I got really nothing else to add other than, like I said, what I saw. His ability to separate and get open is always an attractive stat to me at the next level. So, yeah. I think that'll translate nicely. But yeah, like I said, for fantasy purposes, I'm a little lower than UD, but still, I think he'll be productive.
Yeah. So that's going to round up the wide receivers. I mean, real quick, do you guys think you could give your top 7? And I'm going to say 7 because I feel like 1 to 3 is pretty automatic.
I got 5. For sure 5.
Can you give me 2 more? Just throw in 2 more.
All right.
Go ahead, bro. You can kick things off.
Let me think about it. Okay. I have to add 2 more. I've only got 5.
Go ahead. Kick things off.
I'm going to give you Marvin. This is my 1. I'll give you Rome. I'm going to give you Rome is my 2. Neighbors is my 3. I'm going to put Ladd as my 4. Brian Thomas is my 5. I'm going to have Ricky Pearsall at 6. And then I'm going to have Xavier Leggett at 7.
Okay.
What do you think?
I actually like that list a lot. Let me think here. So I think you and I are the same in terms of top 3 in the exact order. I'd probably go Marvin 1, Rome 2, Malik 3. This is where I get a little off the rails, and I mentioned it last episode. I'm saying Xavier Leggett at 4 with potential to be 1. Somewhere down.
Baby.
Somewhere down the line.
I can't wait to take him in front of you, dude.
I'll be so
just
pissed.
And then watch him just tank, dude.
I'll be so pissed, bro. Brian Thomas, I got to throw him in there because he does have talent. I'll probably throw him at 5. I'll probably throw Ladd at 6. I also like Ladd as well. And then seven, I mean, shit, man. You could really just throw any name out there at this point. I'm going to go the last guy in our last episode, actually, who I like a lot as well.
Jalen Polk?
No, not the last. He wasn't.
Roman Wilson?
Roman Wilson. Okay. I'm going to go Roman Wilson as my seven.
All right. Mine is Marvin Harrison, Malik Nabers, Rome, Javier, Ladd, Brian Thomas, and Devontae Walker.
Oh, God. Devontae Walker?
Let's go, baby.
Okay. Nice.
Wow, man. That's a bad number seven, dude.
Yeah, it is.
And so
that's what we call a lotto ticket, baby. Yeah.
So some honorable mentions here for our listeners. Some guys that we did not talk about that I think is worth remembering. Malik Washington out of Virginia. He's a fairly well-rounded wide receiver. I could see him going third, fourth round. Brandon Rice, Jerry Rice's kid. He could be a late-round guy. Jermaine Burton out of Alabama, another third, fourth-round pick. Very, very athletic, tested very well at the combine. Javon Baker out of UCF, another four-year senior, tested very well. Jacob Cowing out of Arizona, big yak guy, undersized, but I could see him being a dangerous slot player. And then, yeah, I think that would round it out.
Yeah.
For receivers.
I like it, dude.
Switching gears to tight ends.
Tight ends.
Total opposite. Receivers were deep. Tight ends were not.
No, they weren't.
So we're gonna have one main guy and then a bag of chips.
Yep.
For the most part. But let's talk about him.
Let's do it,
get
dude.
Some names out there. Brady, you want to kick it off?
The numero uno tight end in the class. And very honestly, one of the best elite tight end prospects we have seen in quite some time. That would be Brock Bowers, the 6'4", 240-pound tight end. He's a junior out of Georgia, only 21 years old. Last year, had 56 catches for 714 yards and 6 TDs. Now, there is not a lot that I really need to say that a lot of pundits and other analysts haven't said already. So I'll just sum it up with this, dude. He's the absolute total package. Great speed. Great acceleration, great route running, great hands, great athleticism. You name it, dude.
this kid
fucking has it, bro. I'm telling you, like I said, it's not a joke that he's one of the best prospects at this position in years. It plays true. The tape says that it's true. He gets off the snap with good and lean and early acceleration. Like I said, that acceleration is really nice. He has the talent to beat man cover linebackers at the next level. He's a great hands catcher as well. The only weakness really that I see, which may limit his time at the next level, even though it's not going to, is his run blocking. It could improve.
And that might be just at the start.
Exactly.
Like the first 2 weeks.
Exactly. There is one other red flag as well. He is projected to go to the Jets, so keep your eye on that. But other than that, like I said, this kid is the real deal. I haven't been this excited about an elite tight end prospect since Kyle Pitts.
And you know how much we love our tight ends, baby.
Tight ends, yeah.
Around here, baby.
God, I love a good tight end.
We do love our elite tight ends. And all jokes aside, since this is more dynasty focused, these podcasts, or these episodes, I should say, if you find an elite tight end, you're gold. You're gold for years. I would argue for those that are in a rookie draft, for dynasty purposes, this guy should probably be the second pass catcher off the board, above Nabers, above Rome Odunze,
because of what it means when you find that
exactly
golden tight end.
I think you're wrong.
I agree.
Don't go over Marvin, but this kid definitely should be the second pass catcher off the board in rookie drafts. That's just me. But yeah, boys, I mean, like I said, everything on this kid jumps off on the tape, dude. He had a bit of a down year last year from from the year before. Don't get scared off by that, though. This kid is the real deal. He's going to be a day one starter, and the sky's the limit, unless he goes to the Jets. Then be careful.
Dude, I've waited years for this, dude.
I know.
He's finally fucking here. Brock fucking Bowers.
His hype also is... I feel like it hasn't been as big as it should be.
It's because the receiver class.
The receiver class.
Yeah.
But
so, yeah, he's going to land with the Jets and then be good for 2 years with Aaron Rodgers and then fade to black because they're going to just destroy that franchise like they do every year.
Yep.
There's just so much to love about Brock Bowers, dude. There's nothing he can't do at a high level. I will say he's a little undersized. Like he's only 6 feet, 240 pounds. For a tight end, that's just not ideal.
6'3"?
Like, no, I'm pretty sure he's 6 feet.
No, he's not 6 feet, bro.
Are you sure?
Yeah, he's taller
than that. He's 6'3", dude. That's what I've got him listed as.
Oh, man, I'm pretty sure he's smaller than that.
How much of that beer have you had?
Yeah.
I mean,
it's a double, but.
It is a double. I mean, 6 feet, 6'3", on tape, he looks fucking small for a tight end.
He does look small. I'll give you that.
That's just plain and simple. He's undersized. Like, he's undersized for a tight end. He doesn't have the length that you want. You know, but he makes
up
for that.
He's got freaky athleticism.
Yes, he makes up for that with his athleticism and his tenacity and his toughness.
Yeah. So maybe D's onto something. I've just checked 3 different websites. They've all said the different things.
So if I'm just looking at the tape, I'm more inclined to agree with D, where he does look small. Let's just call it even and say
he's 6'2". Yeah, but I love his route running. Very good release off the line. He's a great hand fighter. He's a mismatch. He's going to be a weapon at the next level because he's too big for the slot DBs and he's too fast for the linebackers, and that's who's going to fucking cover him, dude. So plain and simple, like, he's a weapon and teams are going to love to find ways to scheme him open. He's very fluid, very bendy, circus catches, excellent body control. Like, you hit all of it, bro. And even though, like, his measurables aren't elite, I think he makes up for it with his nonstop motor, his toughness, his work ethic. He's still only 21 years old. The scouts thought he was a first-round tight end as a fucking true freshman.
Yeah, that was crazy.
That says everything I need to know.
Yeah. That, and just to kind of touch on the point you just made, how he said a lot of these wide receivers take plays off. This dude never takes play off.
Never takes plays off.
100% every play.
It's a Georgia thing, dude.
Yeah.
Our lad never takes plays off. I love his mentality,
dude.
Maybe
it's a white guy thing.
White guy thing? Gym rat thing?
Yeah, gym rat.
They're just gym rats, dude. And this guy's literally a gym rat.
Yeah.
To me, he's closer to George Kittle than he is to Travis Kelce.
I don't see that because he can't run block as well. Like, Kittle is known for blocking.
But, like, his blocking to me, like, isn't that bad. And I feel like he's got Travis Kelce's hands and yak ability, but he plays with George Kittle's mentality.
Yeah.
Okay.
And he has Kittle's athleticism.
And he's got Kittle's athleticism. He's got the hands and the yak of Kelce, but the toughness and, like, the willingness to block like a George Kittle.
Yeah.
He's an elite prospect. Just pray that he doesn't land on the Jets and some team's going to unleash this kid. The Chargers are hosting him today. So,
well, that means that
if they trade back.
They trade back. We're in Brock Bowers territory. That's nice.
They're still going to take a lineman.
Fuck, I know. Or another running back or
to
something.
To me, I mean, I don't think you're wrong taking him after Marvin. He's going to be sitting there at 6 or 7 in your dynasty drafts.
Take him.
Yep. Agreed. Take him. Yeah. Super flex. We're talking super flex of 2 QBs.
Yeah.
But, yeah. Love Brock Bowers. I've been waiting for this kid for...
long time now.
For a long time.
Yeah, so.
And he's finally here, and I don't have a first-round pick.
We just need this guy to land in the right spot. That's
true. I do. And it's, like, right in line with his territory.
The Chargers cannot take him at 5. But if they trade back, and I know they're not going to do it because they're going to take a lineman if they trade back. But god damn, like, imagine this kid with Justin Herbert. Give him his
what
Travis
about it,
Kelce.
Bro? You guys
dude.
Are just going to run the ball 400 times a game.
Give him
dude.
His Travis Kelce.
Until J.K.
though,
Dobbins goes down.
But he's going to be on the field all the time, bro. He could block enough. Like, all of these guys, all these elite quarterbacks, they've got,
I'm low-key
they got that
very
guy,
worried
dude.
About Justin Herbert's production from a fantasy standpoint.
100%.
He fucking should be.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I'm not touching Herbert in redraft.
I don't think we're going to run as much as everyone thinks we are.
I think you are.
I think we are.
With who? Gus Edwards? Like, at what point do you realize you can't run the ball? And not to get sidetracked.
To be honest, man.
Harbaugh already said, our best weapon is our quarterback. Why would we take the ball out of his hands?
Sure, I get that. But Harbaugh wants to be a physical team. It starts with the offensive line and the defensive line and
good.
Running the ball.
Move the ball.
So what they're going to do is build a strong line on both sides of the ball. If you get a good enough line, you can fucking put anybody back there and they're going to produce. A la Gus Edwards in Baltimore.
Right.
So, like, I don't really think it fucking matters who's running the ball at that point.
I feel like people think we're getting sidetracked here, but I feel like people think Justin Herbert's going to become J.J. McCarthy.
No, I think what's going to happen is you don't draft Justin Herbert and redraft, sadly, from a fantasy perspective.
I think you just temper your expectations and you go from, like, all right, this guy's going to be top five to, like, no, he's probably a low-end quarterback one.
Quarterback one, though, low-end quarterback one last year was what? Kirk Cousins before he got hurt? No, he was about five. I don't know. Who fucking
cares?
Like
Jordan Love?
Jordan Love.
He threw the fucking ball a lot. So, like, I can't see that comparison. I think he's going to be a two. Herbert a two.
13.
Don't tell me that.
You're welcome. You drafted him in Dynasty over Jalen Hurts.
I'll stand by that any day of the week.
Stand by it, Bray. It's a good pick.
I mean, you have to stand by it. Whether you choose to, whether you say that or not, you have to.
I'm still standing by it, dude.
Okay.
I don't give a fuck.
Yeah, we'll talk after you.
Anyways.
So we're aligned on Brock Bowers. That's an easy one. Moving on to the clear tight end number two. Jatavion Sanders, 6'4". Now that's a tight end. 243. He's a junior out of Texas, 21 years old. 45 receptions, 682 yards, and only two touchdowns last year. To me, he is your prototypical pass-catching tight end. Talented pass catcher. I like his floor. I'm just not sure if he can handle like the rigors of the pro game. I mean, I love his size, but I feel like he still has more room to grow. Flash is a run blocker, but not very consistent. What this kid does is he can get vertical. He can get up the field from the line, from the slot. He's good at beating man coverage. He's pretty good at like separating from his routes. Contested catches were solid. Overall, I feel like he's could be a weapon in the league, but he's not as well-rounded. I wish like he doesn't have the blocking of a George Kittle where you're going to see him and become like a dependable like weapon. And like become that Travis Kelce. To me, he's more of a Gerald Everett.
I think Gerald Everett's a great comp.
Yeah.
I agree. I didn't watch too much of this guy's tape, so I'm not going to pretend to say shit that I don't know about. But I will say something. He's a Texas boy, right?
Texas boy.
I think the Texas boys overall are very intriguing prospects across the board. All three of them. Adane, this kid, and Xavier. So...
Is that because the quarterback play was so shit?
Yes.
That there might be more to be had than what we have on tape with these guys?
And historically, dude, Texas is a great D1 school for good college football players.
Right.
So.
I want to see Manning.
Yeah, I want to see him too.
Mm-hmm. Arch Manning.
Was he projected to start this year? I don't think so.
I feel like it's going to go to Quinn Ewers, dude.
I think so too. Did you see that?
I mean, it's his last year. Of course, it's probably going to go to him.
That photo of Art or... Yeah, Arch getting interviewed by, like, all these people.
And then Quinn.
And then Quinn just off on the side, yep. Dude. Poor Quinn, dude.
That was tight.
But, yeah, man, I really can't say much about this tight end, so I'll just take your word for it, D. But, well, I don't know. What do you think, man? Like, is he, like, a starter at the next level? Or?
It's hard to be a starter if you can't block, dude.
Yeah, that's true, especially at that position.
Right, especially at tight ends. You have to have some semblance of blocking. You know, and it depends on what a team wants. Right? I feel like the Bills aren't asking Dalton Kincaid to block.
No, they're not. He's specifically a pass catcher.
You know, but at the same time, they're going to put Dawson Knox and Dalton Kincaid on the field.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So with the Bears, they added Gerald Everett. So Gerald Everett can't block.
Nope.
But Cole Kmet can. Right? So it just depends where this kid's going to line up.
Sure.
Right? So he's not a blocking tight end. So don't expect him to be used like a George Kittle or a Travis Kelce where he's going to be on the field every single play. To me, he seems like a really good red zone threat. And I feel like Gerald Everett is a really safe comp for him, dude. Like just a wide, like just a tight end two. You know, he'll be number 14, 15, 16 and scores a touchdown every now and then.
Red zone.
You know, athletic. Can make a play, but not somebody you're going to lean on.
Okay, cool.
Probably second to third round.
Sure.
Dynasty rookie draft.
All right.
Let's see. Moving on. Cade Stover. Frank, what do you think, dude?
6'4", 251. Big boy. Senior out of Ohio State. 41 catches, 576 yards, and five touchdowns. So Cade has what I would consider more of a traditional NFL frame. He's well built, allows him to play both on and off the ball comfortably, whether as a receiver or as a blocking tight end. He is explosive, and he's quick off his feet. He's agile. He's flexible. He's nimble for how big he is. He's one of those more, what I would say, twitchy tight ends, I guess. Great hand-eye coordination, regularly makes, you know, difficult catches in traffic. Willing and strong blocker. That type of stuff is always going to get you reps at the NFL level. Downsides. Not great speed. Doesn't have that extra gear that we would hope to see, especially with these modern-day NFL tight ends. Inconsistency when trying to get, you know, into space and understand zone coverages. And for as good as he is blocking, he's a bit inconsistent in his technique, which can get him in trouble or get him beat by players that he shouldn't be getting beat. So for all of that said, I do see this guy as kind of like a more of a blocking tight end with upside. Fantasy upside, probably too soon, but he will get a job somewhere in the NFL.
I like Cade Stover to be like a middle round pick to the Chargers.
Everybody to the Chargers, baby.
I was going to say, sorry, D, I'll let you finish here too. There's something about this kid when I watched his tape that just kind of screamed, this kid like maybe might be good.
I agree.
Yeah. And I'm like, he might be like a good tight end.
I agree.
Because, I mean, most tight ends, even Travis Kelce, doesn't have like game breaking speed. So it's not like it's a requirement per se. But
so I don't have like the numbers here in front of me, but I watched a lot of Ohio State.
Same.
Because I wanted to watch Marvin Harrison, and I wanted to see if my boy Carnell Tate, Devy League, gets on the field. You know, true freshman, baby, let's go. So I wanted to see. So I watched a lot of Ohio State.
Yeah.
And I feel like if Kyle McCord, the quarterback, was not targeting Marvin Harrison, I felt like he was targeting Cade Stover. Mm-hmm. Cade Stover, to me, in the games that I watched, felt more like the safety valve than Marvin Harrison. Now, they would turn to Marvin Harrison when they needed to take a game over. But I felt like Cade Stover was getting a lot of looks, dude. And, on tape, I'm like, dude, like, I'm kind of impressed a little bit. Like, good at contested catches. I thought he had really good hands. I liked his route running, good footwork. I mean, his blocking to me is so-so. He was a high school basketball player, and it showed up on tape.
Ooh, those always translate.
So
well.
You could tell he knew how to box guys out.
So he's Tony Gonzalez, which is rad.
Pretty much, yeah, dude. He's a Hall of Famer. This kid's a Hall of Famer. So, I don't know. There's a lot to like on his tape. Now, this is my concern. He's an Ohio State tight end. Give me an Ohio State tight end that translated to the NFL.
Not a lot.
But I can't even name them.
They all look good, dude, and they all turn into nothing, including Jeremy Ruckert, who looked good. He was C.J. Stroud's tight end. What has that guy done in the league? He got drafted, and I can tell you, spoiler alert, he hasn't done shit.
Yeah. Isn't that weird how that's like a thing for
right.
some schools?
Yeah.
Like,
but I saw this comp for Cade Stover, and I'm like, you know what? I could see that. And it was Jake Ferguson.
Mm.
Just a solid just a solid tight end. Nothing too flashy, good hands, and he's tight end 10 to 12.
Yeah.
Like,
which after those like first two
him,
or three tight ends, after those first two or three tight ends, basically 4 to 12 of those tight end ones with that I'm doing with quotation marks, you know, air quotations.
Yeah.
They're basically fucking interchangeable every other week.
I agree.
Because everybody's TD dependent after that.
Agreed. Like, to me, this is the guy that I will spend my third round pick on in my rookie draft. Like, you know,
bit of a lotto ticket.
You're looking for tight ends, dude.
Yeah.
I mean, arguably, I feel like tight end is one of the hardest positions to figure out.
It is.
Yep.
So.
Not this year, but yes, it is overall.
But yeah. Cool. Cade Stover. Moving on to our next guy, Brady. Theo Johnson.
Donald Theo Johnson Parham. So we touched on the size of these guys. This is, I think, the biggest guy, dude. 6'6", 264, senior out of Penn State, 23-year-old. Last year had 34 catches for 341 yards and 7 TDs. I'll be honest. I really didn't see anything with this guy, to be honest with me. I mean, he has size. Great size. Yeah, exactly. Size great link. Size. I mean, and that's about it, dude. I mean, size alone definitely is going to give him a shot at the next level. But other than that, I mean, he's not very dynamic. You know, he's not a great route runner. Doesn't have great hands. Like, he's going to have to figure out a way to specialize in something.
Red zone.
Yeah, to make an impact at the next level. And right now, he doesn't specialize in anything. Except for his biceps, dude, because they're massive.
Hell yeah. Yeah.
But, I mean,
he's handsome.
Yeah, and he's a handsome-looking guy. But that's it, boys. I mean, you know, we're getting here towards the end of these tight ends. We expect as much. But, I mean, maybe you take a flyer on this kid. You never know. Like we said a million times, if he lands in a good spot, maybe an injury happens. Maybe, I don't know. You just don't know.
I feel like this kid carries more name value. In the Devy community, people know who Theo Johnson is. He was a very highly recruited tight end prospect coming out of high school. And look at that size, bro.
He's like, massive.
6'6".
He's huge.
Right? So great size for a tight end. He just lacked consistency. And he, frankly, Drew Allar, who is not the guy that I thought he was.
Don't say that.
I think we could agree
on
that.
Don't say that. Don't say that. Don't say that.
Josh Allen, my ass. Josh Allen, my ass.
One more year. One more year.
2022. Spoiler alert. If you need a fucking quarterback in the next 3 years, draft it now because they're not fucking coming next year. All right? I can tell you that. I can tell you that much.
What about Shador, dude?
Shador. I think you should Shador this dick, dude. Like, it's fucking. There's nothing there. Drew Allar, first or what? No. Freaking Quinn Ewers. No. Anyways. He didn't get to production. He should have gotten, right? His run blocking is below average. I liked his size. I liked his build. Route running was okay. Contested catches, good, not great. But, yeah, he was very inconsistent, very wishy-washy. My easy comp for this guy is Donald Parham. And which is based off his size, he's just going to be a red zone specialist.
Yeah, he's huge.
I can't draft this guy.
There's not a lot there to like.
Foster Moreau?
No.
No? Not even that, huh?
No, dude. To me, he's like more OJ Howard. Oh, like, God. I don't trust him. Like, yeah. I could see him landing with a team, thinking they could build him into something. But in the end, he's just a red zone guy. And he's going to steal touchdowns from your number one tight end.
Fuck you, dude.
Yeah, size is enticing, per usual. other than that, yes, that was a sexual innuendo joke.
But every inch matters.
Yeah, every inch matters, bro. But yeah, dude, I don't see a lot next level.
Moving on. Ben Sinnoh, 6'4", 245. He's a junior out of Kansas State, 21 years old. This guy's a bit of a riser. Kind of came out of nowhere, and he was actually a former walk-on. His claim to fame was he added 40 pounds of muscle to his frame.
That's impressive.
And he did that without losing any speed.
That shows me great work ethic.
Or any agility. He's white, which means he's a
gym rat, baby.
He's a gym rat.
He's a gym rat.
But he's not a class act.
No, he's not. Overall, route running, pretty good. To me, he's like a Brock Bowers light. His claim to fame in the tight end position is speed, agility, and route running.
Mm-hmm.
Right, so very athletic. He could get quickly into his routes. He can maneuver, you know, redirect his DBs. Contested catch, steady hands.
Mm-hmm.
He can move the chains. I feel like he's got good rack ability, and I like that he looked to me very light on his feet. You know, even for a blocker. Overall, though, I feel like he's more of a finesse tight end. I like my tight ends with a little bit more toughness, and I feel like he, like, lacked the grit and really the point of attack. Run blocking, irrelevant. Pad level, irrelevant. He's the tight end you're going to line up out wide.
Yeah.
You're not going to put him on the line. And his hands overall were just okay. Like, he's going to be a mid to late round tight end with some upside because of that athleticism that he has. You know, he's got enough speed to be a mismatch
mm-hmm.
against the linebackers and even a mismatch for some of the slot corners. He kind of reminds me of like a Mike Gesicki.
I'll take Mike
Not
Gesicki.
A blocker. Yeah. And that's a poor man's Mike Gesicki. Because I'm pretty sure Gesicki was still a first-round pick, and this guy's going to go in the middle.
Yeah.
But, yeah, that's what I'm seeing in this kid.
Yeah, man. I agree with you. At first, when I looked up this kid, I thought it was the kid out of Washington. I don't remember his name. I don't know if he's eligible this year or next, but you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
I like him. Mm-hmm. Keep an eye on that kid. Yeah. But anyways, yeah, dude, like I said, I agree with you. Good agility, good speed, you know, decent size, you know, he's athletic. Again, like you mentioned, I don't see him profiling much more than a pass-catching tight end at the next level, which is great, man. I mean, for fantasy purposes, that's what you want. You don't get points for run blocking.
Noah Gray, dude.
Yep. So, I mean,
Backup Travis Kelce.
Sign me up, dude. I'll take a flyer on this kid if he falls in the right situation.
I got nothing to add, man. Absolutely nothing. I don't know who this guy is. I don't fucking know where the school he went to.
Frank signed off at Brock Bowers.
Yeah, dude. I checked out after Brock Bowers, and I've just been free floating over here. Yeah.
How are your moral codes right now, Frank?
You know what, man? I'm not much of a double IPA guy, and the reason why this is good, but like once you get into double IPAs, they almost start to taste like wine to me, and I don't like the winey taste, especially in the IPAs. But it's good, hella good. Just not probably not something I would buy personally.
I disagree, dude. This beer is delicious.
Yeah.
There's one more. I'm debating if I should drink it tonight.
You should, man.
Enjoy it yourself, right?
Yeah, why the fuck not?
Yeah, fuck it. Well, that's not only wraps up our tight ends, but that wraps up, I guess, our
fucking scouting report.
Our scouting report, too.
Thank God.
Kickers next week?
Let's get into defenses next week.
Fuck.
I don't know. But I honestly enjoy this. I love, if you don't know me, I fucking love football. I watch enough college. And, like, I'm a fucking degenerate, dude. I'm, like, keeping tabs on these high school players now with the Devy leagues that I'm playing scouting, in and stuff like that.
Scouting in general is fun, too, though, man. You know,
like, I want to know if I can get it right.
It's fun to, like, watch the prospects. Like, for me, especially, like, at all levels, bro. Like, or at all leagues, you know, football, baseball especially, you know, I love watching the prospects in those leagues. You know, basketball. You know, watching those college kids. Not so much these days, but, you know.
And that feeling when you hit.
Oh, it's the best. Like when you get it right.
Yeah, when Puka was that guy, when Tank became that guy, I'm like,
yeah.
Like, God damn, dude. I'm just a fucking average Joe that thinks he knows something about football.
And yeah.
Apparently I fucking do. Suck it.
I will say I have started this last season. I watched more college than I ever have in my entire life.
College is fun, dude.
So it's I'm slowly coming around here. So.
Which is funny because last year, I watched the least amount of college I've ever watched in my life. I think having a baby had something to do with that. But other than that, yeah, dude, I love college ball. I think I might love college more than pros, to be honest.
I can't, dude. I love the NFL. And
it's because college is all offense, dude. No defense, bro.
You're losing by 50. You got a shot, baby.
Yeah.
And that's what makes it fun, dude. Like, you got USC versus Washington. The score is fucking 50-49.
Yeah.
You know, two great quarterbacks.
And it's not like they're terrible games. They're close games.
No.
That was an awesome game.
Yes.
The USC and Washington.
The hard part with college is like
the first few weeks.
You can know, you'll know right away when a game's going to get away from you.
Oh, yeah.
Like with the NFL, it there is a bit of a any given Sunday aspect to it.
That's
college,
true.
Like, no, there's no fucking way Vanderbilt's beating you.
Oh, like matchup wise.
Yeah.
So that
NFL,
said, college 100% is easier to bet on.
Yes. Now let's segue to our gambling segment.
Stay tuned for our next podcast, The Degenerates.
And our host is going to be Asian Brian.
Hello. Konnichiwa.
What are we going to be looking at next week?
So
are we going to be doing a draft episode?
I don't know, dude. I think we got to figure that out. We'll figure that off the air, and we'll surprise you guys next week. All right. That's all we got.
All right.
That's all we got.
That was fun. Thanks, guys.
Late.
See ya.